3. Proverbs chapter 3. And as you're turning, it's a good opportunity for me to remind you of the importance and the blessing of reading through the Proverbs each month. If you're doing that, if you're already in the habit of doing that, then you know this is the proverb for today. It's January the 3rd. And by the way, Happy New Year. In case I haven't said that to you personally, I'll just say it collectively. Happy New Year to everybody. Here we are, the third day into the year, and if you're in the habit, or are going to be in the habit, I pray that you will, you'll be reading a proverb a day. That gets you through the book of Proverbs 12 times in a year, and so much practical truth for our lives, guidance from God that we find here each day. So this is the one for today, and I want us to read from Proverbs chapter 3 as we preach and think along very practical lines today. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. You can't get much more practical than the verses we just read. I want to preach to you this morning on the privilege of walking with God. The privilege of walking with God. It's found all through the Bible, but I don't think you'd find a clearer demonstration of it or definition of it than what we've found in these verses. Let me read verses 5, 6, and 7 one more time so they might be fixed in our hearts and minds. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. One of the great promises in the Bible is found in the book of James. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. When Nancy and I were dating, and I love to go back to those days, and I hope you do too in your family and your marriages. And we listened to some music together. And I think most couples do that. You have songs that when you hear them, I see some faces smiling. I see some eyes lighting up. You know what I'm talking about. You have your songs. Well, we kind of had our group that we listened to. And some of you are old enough probably to remember Seals and Crofts. Remember that? The duet, the duo that sang kind of folksy type songs and just real heartwarming type songs. I guess you might call them love songs. Well, one of their big hits was Get Closer. And you remember how it goes? Darling, if you want me to be closer to you, then get closer to me. That's pretty good when you're dating to hear that song and to think about that song. Well, it became a favorite of ours. And then we have the gospel song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And all of us probably know that by heart. You know the tune at least. And we say, grant it, Lord, I plead, just a closer walk with Thee. And I would hope as we set out in a new year that that would be a desire on your heart, as it is on my heart, to have a closer walk with the Lord. Or if you don't have a walk, to have a walk at all, to begin that walk, and to have a close walk as you go along. So this is a good resolution. There's nothing wrong with resolutions whatsoever. What does it mean to walk with God? This is an expression you find many, many times in the Bible, Old and New Testament. And as we'll see, we'll have some verses to bring in that speak to this point. But what does it mean when we use that expression? Why would God choose that, walking with Him? Well, first of all, when you walk, you have a starting point. And so our walk with God has a starting point, and that comes with salvation. And then another reason that God uses this term walk is because it's something you do every day. It's just natural, isn't it? You walk from here to your car. You walk in the church. You walk into your job. You walk into the school. You walk. You sit. It's just an everyday thing. You don't have to think about walking. It's just something you do. And that's ideally what we need to be doing, is walking with God and not having to really work at it. It's just kind of a habit in our lives, walking with God each day. And then walk, no doubt, is a part, the part of the reason that God uses that expression is because in walking, you have a destination. Unlike some of the walking we do in our generation, walking for exercise, you know, a lot of people walk around a track or walk on a treadmill and, you know, for health reasons and all of that. But in Bible times, they didn't do that. They had to walk to go, to get where they were going. And if they didn't have a beast to ride upon or a carriage or something. And so they had in mind where they were going. And so it is when we walk with God. And what is our destination? Well, ultimately it's heaven. But even before we get to heaven, our destination, our goal is that we might become more like Christ. And so this expression is found over and over again, walking with God. Scripture tells us that believers are to walk in the light. This is some of the ways it's expressed. Walk in the light, walk in truth, walk in love, walk in good works, walk worthy of our calling, walk in wisdom, walk in the Spirit, and even walk as Christ walked. And then you can sum it all up with what we're preaching today, and that is simply walking with God. If you walk with God, you're doing all those other things. The three things I want to say in this message, three parts. First of all, we're going to talk about the reasons for walking with God, and then the requirements of walking with God, and then lastly, the results of walking with God. And this comes from my reading and studying about this. I have just been drawn to this in the last week or so, thinking about this as we enter the new year. So let's begin with reasons for walking with God. And there are many reasons, but I want to give you two. I want to just give you two reasons. And these are reasons enough to walk with God. First of all, we need God's direction. Can I hear an amen? We need God's direction. That's why it says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Oh, how we need God's direction. Jeremiah the prophet in chapter 10, verse 23 said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We just do not have the capacity to direct our own lives. There is a steering wheel in our lives, but we're not the ones to use it. God ought to be the one to guide the wheel, to steer the life. And so we gladly, willingly, we need to and we want to place that into His hands. Lord, guide me today. Guide me, guide my family, guide our church, and let us have Your direction. Not only do we need God's direction, we need God's protection. Turn to Psalm 23, the beloved 23rd Psalm. We read this often, and for good reason. It speaks of a lot of things. One of the things it speaks of is God's protection. I'll begin reading in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And of course, that speaks of direction, doesn't it? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. That's walking with God as the heavenly shepherd. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So among other things, it speaks here of God's protection. And so the reasons why we walk with God is we need His direction and we need His protection. There's not a person here that would say otherwise. I love Spurgeon, and we have encouraged you, if you don't have it, to get that good devotional book, Morning and Evening. And recently I came across this line in that book. And here's what Spurgeon said. Think about it. Walk with God and you have infallible wisdom to direct you, immutable love to comfort you, and eternal power to defend you. How good is that? We have all of that, but only if we're walking with God. The reasons we need His direction, we need His protection. Now let's come to the second part of the message, and let's think about requirements for walking with God. What is required? Well, in combing the Scriptures, you find several things, and we're not going to hit all of them, but I think we'll hit some of the major ones that are absolute essentials if we are truly walking with God. That is, not just thinking we're walking with God, but we are in fact walking in step with God, in fellowship with God, with His presence in our lives daily. The first one is pretty obvious, and that is salvation. You can't walk with God unless you're saved and you're His child, and you're one of His people. We need a new birth and we need new life from God. We need to be reconciled to God. You see, you can't have fellowship with, if you're at enmity with God, and that's who we are until we're born again and reconciled. We sang that Christmas carol, I think, more than one time, that we are reconciled through the coming of Christ and, of course, His death. All of that was needed to bring us back to God. Amos the prophet asked a good question in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with someone if you don't have a common bond, a common interest, a common love, a common fellowship. You're not going to walk with somebody if you feel an enmity or a kind of a distaste or even a hatred with somebody. Maybe they feel that towards you. You're just not going to walk with someone until you're agreed. And so when we're saved, we then have the desire and the ability to walk with God, but not until then. That's where it starts. After salvation, here's another requirement for walking with God: humility. If we're going to walk with God, we must be walking in His ways and on His terms, not ours. You see, a lot of people have the idea that they can walk with God, but they want to bring God down to their way of thinking and their way of doing and their way of walking and get Him in on their agenda, but it doesn't work that way. If we're going to walk with God, we have to walk in His steps, on His terms, in His ways. Here's what it says in Micah 6, verse 8. This is a great scripture. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly. There it is. Walk humbly with thy God. If you're walking with God, you won't walk in pride. Because the Bible clearly tells us God resists the proud. He's not going to walk with a proud man. But He will walk with a humble soul. So it's up to us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, as Scripture tells us. A third thing that's required for walking with God is faith and repentance. In our text, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So it's trusting, and it's trusting with all your heart. Not a half heart, not so-so, but with all your heart, depending upon Him. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says it very plain, we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, most people in this world are walking by sight. They're trying to figure life out. And a lot of people are walking pretty successfully in the world's eyes because they've figured out how the world works. Some better than others figure this out. And so if they do this, that, and the other, they can get ahead. They can jump ahead. They can have this. They can have that. They can go here. They can go there. And so they're walking according to worldly wisdom, but they're not walking and trusting God and walking with God. That's what we should want. And we do that in faith and repentance. Two men are spoken of as walking with God early in the Bible. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, Genesis 5:24. And then another chapter tells us that Noah walked with God, chapter 6:9. Then come to the New Testament, Hebrews 11, and it tells us that they both walk with God by faith. That's the great faith chapter. By faith, Enoch, and then by faith, Noah, walk with God, and God rewarded them. Isaiah 55 tells us about the need of repentance in our walk. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And this is where repentance always starts. It doesn't end there, but it always starts there. And that is recognizing that our thoughts are wrong and God's thoughts are right. Our ways are wrong and God's ways are right. It starts with the thinking. And then it affects the way we feel. And it ultimately affects the way we live. Repentance changes everything. But first, we have to agree that God's ways are right. And we're going to walk in those ways. Another thing required for walking with God is holiness. Holiness. We must walk in purity. Now, purity is not the same thing as perfection. Because if we were to have to walk in perfection, guess what? Nobody could walk with God. But we are to walk in purity of life. God will not fellowship with darkness or with sin. James chapter 4, verse 8, where I spoke of a moment ago as we began the message. I didn't read all that verse. Here's what the whole verse says. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That is near. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. But then it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, when it says cleanse your hands, that's speaking of our actions. When it says purify your hearts, that's speaking of our attitudes. So outwardly, our actions, inwardly, our thoughts, our attitudes must be holy, desiring to walk with God. And so it puts us in a place where David was. We all know about his sin, but do we know about his repentance? Do we know about his desire? When he prayed in Psalm 51, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That should be our daily prayer, shouldn't it? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, he says later in Psalm 51. There's something else that's a requirement for walking with God, and that is obedience. If we're going to walk with God, we have to know what he wants us to do, and then we have to get beyond knowing it, and that is doing it. We have to walk in obedience. Let me take us back to Christmas. You want to go back to Christmas? Just one little more glimpse of Christmas and the Christmas story, at least the traditional story, has the wise men coming. And the wise men, first of all, came to Jerusalem. And as the scriptures indicate, they go around Jerusalem. The scripture uses an ongoing tense of the verb. They were saying, that is, they were, everybody they could stop and talk to, they were asking, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And so they're asking around town. And first thing you know, there's a big uproar in town. These people are coming in on camels and a big entourage and these wise men. And they're asking, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Well, Herod got wind of it and it upset him because he thought, King of the Jews? That could be my rival. I better find out about this. And so he called the chief priests and the scribes who knew the prophecy of the coming of the king. And he asked them, where is this Messiah of yours to be born? Because I've heard that there's some people looking for him. And you know what? They knew exactly what the scripture said. They knew Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, the prophecy that said, Bethlehem, though you're little among the thousands of Judah, out of you will come forth. He that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. They knew that scripture, but you know what? They had no desire to go to Bethlehem to see him. They had no no desire whatsoever to look for Him or to honor Him. They knew the Scripture, but that's as far as it went. And I'm afraid that's just the same way with us. We know it, but we don't put it into action. And to that extent, we're just like the scribes and the Pharisees. It's never enough just to know what the Bible says. We have to be willing to live by it. And the Bible bears this out, particularly in the book of Psalms. Psalm 1, we've read that a lot around here for good reason. And that's a good one to read more than once. Read it often. Psalm 1 begins like this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So he's not walking according to the ways of the world, but he's walking in the ways of the Lord because he loves the way of the Lord and he meditates in it. And therefore, it saturates his thinking and his desires so that it affects his actions. He's obeying the Word. Psalm 119, that great, great psalm about the Word of God, begins this way, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And that sets the tone for that whole psalm that extols the many qualities of the Word of God and what it does for us and what we should do with it, how we should hide it in our hearts so we not sin against God and all that. But we walk in the law of the Lord. It's obedience that is so needed. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, as you know, is found in Psalm 119 as well and verse 105. There is a verse in the last part of the New Testament that I've often referred to as the pastor's verse. Because John, the elder John, the older man now, writes this letter, only has one chapter, 3 John, verse 4. Here's what he says. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He's saying that as a spiritual father to his people, a spiritual leader, a spiritual mentor. There's nothing that brings me greater joy than to hear that my children, those under my influence, are walking in truth. And to walk in truth is to walk with God. If you're walking with God, you're walking in truth. You're walking by the precepts and the principles and the commands and the teachings of the Word. There's something else required for walking with God, and that's prayer. Of course, let me give you a good prayer. You can pray every day, and if you'll pick up the prayer card out there in the foyer, you'll have that right there on the card. It'll remind you to pray this every day. This verse is on it. Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. I cannot think of a better prayer to pray as you begin your day than that right there. Think about that. Cause me to know how I should walk. That is, give me direction. And you know God's going to honor that prayer. What could please Him more than for His child to look up to Him and say, I want to know what you want me to do, what you want me to say, where you want me to go, how you want me to live. Please direct my every step. I look to you for guidance. Now, everything we've talked about in these requirements, there's nothing ideal or unrealistic about any of these requirements. Wouldn't you agree? They're all real and they're all practical and they're all essential. Every one of those things. There may be more, but those are a good starting place. And here's what I would submit to you. You could sum it all up in saying that we need a daily devotional time. We need a daily quiet time. We need a time with God. And I think the best time is in the morning. If you have to get up real, real early and it's just impossible or impractical to get up, you know, that early to have it because you wouldn't be in the right frame of mind, have it at the end of the day. But for God's sake, have it. Have a daily time with God where you get in the Word and you lift up your heart And you're praying for His direction. You're praying for His protection. You're praying that He will help you as you seek to walk with Him. You see, in Scripture, God speaks to us, and in prayer, we speak to Him. And that's really what it means to walk with God. To know what He wants, and then you tell Him what you need. And that's pretty much it. And how good is that when we can walk with God? When we meet those requirements, we can do it. Now, a quick word, and we'll be done. What are the results of walking with God? The results of walking with God. Well, I think I've mentioned several things that are pretty obvious about the personal benefits. The personal benefits that come. So I want to mention two that have to do with somebody other than yourself. There are a lot of benefits that will come to you if you walk with God. But here are a couple outside of yourself. The main one is this, that God will be glorified. When you're walking with Him, He will be glorified. And shouldn't that be the main priority of our life, that God be glorified? That's why we're here. That's why we were created in the first place. And then a double reason to glorify God is that we've not only been created, but we've been redeemed. We're made by Him and we're bought by Him. We belong to Him twice over by creation and redemption. So, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." If that doesn't cover everything in life, I don't know what verse would. That is, even in the minor things, the incidental things, what we would call the trivial things, that even those things can bring glory to God and should bring glory to God and will bring glory to God if we're walking with Him. Ephesians 4:1 is a beautiful verse. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," Paul writes, "beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." Now that word vocation has nothing to do with your work. We tend to go there with that word. Vocation means calling. And here it means the calling into God's family. The calling of salvation. That's a special calling, isn't it? He calls us. We hear the call. We answer the call to come to Him, to receive eternal life, to find forgiveness and all of that. So what does this mean to walk worthy of that calling? The idea is like a balance. You have things weighed in a balance. And so on the one side, you have all the blessings, all the benefits, all the privileges, all the riches of redemption. Our calling in Christ. That's a pretty heavy weight on the scale, wouldn't you say? Walk worthy of that means that your life should reflect in some measure how much you've been blessed. Don't just take your blessings and hold on to them and say, well, they're mine, and with no regard for what God deserves and what God wants. He's blessed us so we should live as those who are so blessed. A worthy walk, worthy of our calling. So God will be glorified. That'll be one result. But then another one, so very practical to think about it. Your family and your friends will be blessed. You know, when you're walking with God, it's going to make a positive and a lasting difference in the lives of those around you. Especially the people that know you the best. Proverbs 20, verse 7. This is family members. Parents, listen to this. Don't miss it. Proverbs 27. "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." The father walks in integrity. The children are blessed. It's like they're in the shadow of his blessing. He's walking. He's being blessed. To walk in integrity means that you're not living a double life. You're walking with God the same on Monday as you do on Sunday. You're walking with God the same at work as you are at home or church. You're one person. You're not two. You're not a double person. You're one person. That's the way we're to live, isn't it? And if you're walking with God, that's the way you will live. And you'll be blessed, and those who are in your family will be blessed. Proverbs 13, verse 20 speaks of friends. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You walk with people that are wise, you'll benefit from their wisdom. And we could just as well say you walk with people or a person who's walking with God, then that's going to rub off on you. That's going to influence you. The same as if you were walking with people that were not walking with God. We all know from experience what that will do with our lives. It will wreck our lives and ruin our lives. So you can tell when somebody's walking with God. It shows in what they do, and what they say, how they live. One of my favorite books is The Valley of Vision. It's a little devotional book. It's about 400 pages in length, but it's very small. It's real thin paper. And it's made up of Puritan prayers and devotions. And I was reading recently a line that really stuck out to me. It kind of grabbed me, and I read it all the time. But as with the Scripture, something you hadn't read in a while, it'll come back and it'll mean more to you, depending on where you are in life. And so this was the gist of what I read, that the great purpose of life is to glorify God and to be a blessing to others. That is the great purpose in life. If we can say that we're glorifying God and blessing others, can we improve on that? And how is that possible? By walking with God. We're glorifying Him and we're blessing others. Let me just close this message by saying this. Every one of us has the privilege to walk with God if we choose. And I'm encouraging you today with this message. Walk with God. And let me also encourage you to encourage others to walk with God. Wives, encourage your husbands to walk with God. Husbands, same way, encourage your wives, walk with God. Spur each other in that. This is the best thing in marriage, that we spur one another to live for God and walk with God, isn't it? Parents, of course, should want to do that, to encourage their children. Walk with God, honey. Walk with God. Walk with God. Encourage one another in that. And within the church, we could not improve on that. Encourage one another and pray for one another that we might all walk with God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of walking with you. What a privilege, what an honor that it truly is. And Father, we thank you for laying out in your word what's involved. Thank you for showing us these requirements. And we know, Lord, we know for sure that if we are to walk with you, it must be on your terms and not on ours. We can't just live any old way and expect you to bless it and honor it. But if we walk with you and walk in the light as you're in the light, then we know we have your presence, we have your blessing, we have your guidance, we have your protection. And not only will our lives be blessed, but those around us will be influenced and blessed as well. And this is what we desire. We pray, Lord, that your will may be accomplished this year in our lives. And we believe it will be if we'll just stay in touch with you and fellowship with you each and every day. I pray that each one of us will see the need of having that quiet time and not get so scattered and so stressed with the demands of life that we neglect that. Help us all to have the wisdom and make it a determined effort to set aside time in every day where we read your word and have prayer, lift up our hearts to you without interruption. Oh, how we need that time, Lord. And help us to stay faithful to it each and every day. Bless our lives that we might bring glory and honor to you. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.